Translation happens as all the things according to their mansion of ritual for killing animals, the main bay, jaguar, dressed him in new clothes, decorated with arms, including an animal, smeared his body with scented oils, and decorated with tila, sandalwood, palm, and garlands. They fed him sumptuously and then brought him before the goddess Kali, offering her incense, lambs, garlands, parsley, newly grown figs, sprouts, fruits, and flowers in this way. They worship the deity before killing the man-animal, and they vibrated songs and prayers and played drums and bugles. Jethvara was then made to sit down before the deity. According to this verse, the word svavadina is very significant. According to the Vedic Shastras, everything must be done according to regulated principles. Here it is stated that the thieves and the rogues devise their own process for killing an animalistic man. The Tamasic Shastras give instructions for sacrificing an animal like a goat or buffalo for the goddess Kali, but there is no mention of killing a man, however dull he may be. This process was manufactured by the dacoits themselves, therefore the word svavadina is used. Even at this time, there are many sacrifices being conducted without reference to the Vedic scriptures. For instance, in Calcutta recently, a slaughter house was being advertised as the temple of goddess Kali. Meat eaters will also purchase meat from such shops, making it different from ordinary meat and taking it even saw the goddess Kali. The sacrifice of a goat or similar animal before the goddess Kali is mentioned in shastras just to give people keep people from eating slaughterhouse meat and become responsible for killing their animals. The conditioned soul has a natural tendency towards sex and meat and constantly adjusts down to some concessions. Active suckers aid at putting an end to these abominable activities, but they touch some regulated principles, so ungrafted meat, years of sex contracts will be rectified. At this time, one of the thieves, acting as a chief priest, was ready to offer the blood of Jambara, whom they imagined to be a man, an animal man, to the goddess Kali, to drink as liquor. He therefore took up a very fearsome sword, which was very sharp, and consecrated by the mantra of Bhadra Kali, raised it to kill Jambara. All the rogues and thieves who had made arrangements for the worship of Goddess Kali were low-minded and bound to the nose of passion and ignorance. They were overpowered by the desire to become very rich. Therefore, they had the audacity to disobey the instructions of the Vedas, so much so that they were prepared to kill Jambara, a self-realized soul born in a Brahmin family. Due to their envy, these dacoits brought him before the Goddess Kali for sacrifice. Such people are always addicted to envious activities and therefore terrified to kill Jambara. Jambara was the best friend of all the divinities. He was no one's enemy, and he was always absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was born of a good Brahmin father, and killing him was forbidden, even though he might have been an enemy or aggressive person. In any case, there was no reason to kill Jambara, and the goddess Kali could not bear this. She could immediately understand that the sinful dacoits were about to kill a great devotee of the Lord. Suddenly the deity's body burst asunder, and the goddess Kali personally emerged from it, in the body burning with an intense and intolerable effulgence. Purport of writing Vedic injunctions, only an aggressor can be killed. If a person comes with intent to kill, one can immediately take action and kill in self-defense. There's also stated one can be killed if he comes to set fire to a home or pollute or kidnap one's wife. Lord Ramchandra killed the entire family of Ravana because Ravana kidnapped his wife Sitadevi. However, killing is not sanctioned in the scripture for other purposes. The killing of animals and sacrifice to demigods who are expansions of the Supreme Personality of God is a sanction for those who eat meat. This is a kind of restriction for meat eating. In other words, the slaughter of animals is also restricted by certain rules and regulations of the Vedas. Considering these points, there are plausible reasons to kill Jambara, who was born in a respectable, highly exalted Brahmin family. He was a God-realized soul and a well-wisher to all living entities. The Vedas do not at all sanction the killing of Jambara by rogues and thieves. Consequently, the goddess Bhadra Kali emerged from the deity to give protection to the Lord's devotee. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that due to the Brahmana falseness of such a devotee, Jambara, the deity was fractured. Only thieves and rogues in the mode of passion, ignorance, and madness, maddened by material opulence, offer a man a sacrifice before the goddess Kali. This is not sanctioned in the instructions. Presently, there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by a puffed up population, mad for material opulence. Such activities are never supported by the popular school. Intolerant of the offenses committed, the inferior goddess Kali flashed her eyes and displayed her fierce curved teeth. Her reddish glowing eyes glowed and she displayed her fearsome features. She assumed a frightened body as if she were prepared to destroy the entire creation. Leaping violently from the altar, she immediately decapitated all the rogues and thieves with the very sword with which they had intended to kill Jambara. She then began to drink the hot blood that flowed from the necks of the dead rogues and thieves, as if this blood were liquor. Indeed, she drank this intoxicant with her associates, who were witches and female demons. Becoming intoxicated with this blood, they all began to sing very loudly and dance as though prepared to annihilate the entire universe. At the same time, they began to play with the heads of the rogues and thieves, tossing them about as if they were balls. Purport is evident from this verse that the devotees of Goddess Kali are not at all favored by her. It is Goddess Kali's work to kill and punish the demons. Goddess Kali engages in decapitating many demons, dacoits, and other unwanted elements in society. Neglecting Krishna consciousness, foolish people try to satisfy the goddess by offering her many abominable things, but ultimately when there is a little discrepancy in this worship, the goddess punishes the worshiper for taking his life. Demoniac people worship Goddess Kali to obtain some material benefit, but they are not excused of the sins performed in the name of worship. To sacrifice a man or animal for the deity is specifically forbidden. When an envious person commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in the way mentioned above. Sukadeva Goswami then said to Maharaj preached, "Oh Vishnu Datta, those who already know that the soul is separate from the body, who are liberated from the invincible knot of the heart, who are engaged in welfare activities for all living entities, and who never contemplate harming anyone, are always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who carries his gift and acts as Supreme Time to kill the demons and protect the devotees. The devotees always take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, this time, even if threatened by decapitation, they remain unagitated. For them, this is not at all wonderful. Wherefore, these are some of the great qualities of the pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, the devotee is firmly convinced of his spiritual identity. He never identifies with the body, is firmly convinced of spiritual separation from the body. Consequently, fears nothing. Even though his life may be threatened, he is not at all afraid. He does not even treat an enemy like an enemy. Such are the qualifications of a devotee. The devotees are always fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord is always near them to give them protection in all circumstances. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Purports of this Canto 9 chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam tells the supreme character of Shambhara. So this concludes the section on the sacrifice of Shambhara to the goddess Kali. As we know, Kali has a very ferocious nature. And usually her deities are there. She's depicted with a chopper in her hand, and she's stepping on some demon or whatever, and she's got skulls around her neck, etc. And even we'll have pictures of Durga, even though she's more peaceful, she's riding on a lion or whatever, and she's got all these weapons in her hands. Kali and Durga are more or less synonymous, different forms of the same thing, that is, they represent Maya Devi or Prakriti. Weapons are there to chastise those who are sinful. Unfortunately, some people become attracted to these deities for the wrong reasons, and they're the ones who should be killed by the Durga Devi. Instead, they worship her, thinking they'll get favors from her. But actually, Durga Devi, like all the other devatas, they are servants of the Supreme Lord and act according to his desires. So yes, the devatas, by getting the worship, they give some temporary material benefits, that's so. But then there are also rules to follow for worshipping these devatas. And one has to follow the particular rules to get the right result. Thus it is said, in sacrifice, if you don't pronounce the mantras properly, you get the wrong result, or whatever. So everything has to be done in a particular way to get proper results. Now, what is the purpose of all this? We see there's so many Vedic literatures, and so many devatas, and so many sacrifices. And there are, of course, sacrifices, cow sacrifices. And even in Bhagavatam, we see there's human sacrifice. Human sacrifice is also there, mentioned in the Vedas. So it's not unheard of even in the Vedic literature. But, of course, as Prabhupada has pointed out here, all these things are not the essence of Vedic truth. They are things which are performed by people of lower consciousness for material purposes. And they're not the ultimate goal. In fact, these things are a concession, more or less, to people who are of a lower nature. And we know that when we come to the level of Gyan, Yoga, and Bhakti, all of these things are rejected as being useless and material attachments. So, therefore, this type of activity, worship of devatas, sacrifice of animals, etc., all and even a human being, all of this is considered to be inferior. It is mentioned for certain types of people, and even then, they have to follow certain rules and regulations for those sacrifices to be performed properly. So in other words, by giving concession, they also make these people follow rules. So in that sense, good. At least they follow some rules. But the goal is not good. The goal is material. So therefore, not a very satisfactory process ultimately. So this is all condemned by
Narada Muni, when he spoke to Vyasa at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, all to be condemned, all of this type of activity. It is inferior. It should not be recommended for anybody, particularly in Kali Yuga. So the real goal, on the other hand, is the opposite, and that is complete dedication to the Supreme Lord, which is completely non-violent and without any material motives at all. So Jambara was such a person. And of course, his previous lifetime he was Bara, and his father was Rishabha. All exemplifying devotion to the Supreme Lord. And on the other hand, we find these persons here, they completely put the opposite. They're willing to sacrifice the devotee to Goddess Kali in the hopes of getting some material benedictions. So by presenting this story, we see an utter condemnation of this type of activity, sacrifice, etc., for material things. What happens? The result is completely opposite. So these demons, they sacrificed Jadvara, and instead of sacrificing him, they got sacrificed. Instead of taking his blood and offering it to Kali, Kali chopped their heads off and drank their blood instead. So they suffered. They did not get the result of their particular sacrifice. So, of course, one reason is that they did not follow the procedures properly. They did not choose a proper sacrifice, a sacrificial victim or whatever, and therefore they had to suffer. Of course, not only that, they had actually attacked Jadvara, who was a great devotee of the Lord, so that was even worse. But in any case, they didn't follow any particular rules, and therefore, Goddess Kali was not satisfied with them at all. So they got an opposite result. Instead of getting material benedictions, apparently the person in charge of the sacrifices wanted a son. So he wanted a sacrifice to Kali to get that desire fulfilled. Instead, opposite happened. He was killed, along with all of his followers. So they got a very miserable result of their ambition for material gain in this world. So this, of course, was was a much more serious crime, because it was a crime against a very, very great devotee of the Lord, Jadvara. Jadvara, on the other hand, we see, was completely detached from this situation. He did not protest the dacoits coming and capturing him. He could have, but he didn't. And when they were about to kill him, he also didn't do anything. So it was Goddess Kali herself who became the servant of Bharat and saved him by killing the dacoits. So in this last verse, Sukadeva Goswami describes to Parikshit some of the qualities of the devotees, not only Bharat, but all devotees. They understand they're not the body, they're completely detached from the body. They're compassionate for all living entities, they don't harm any living entity. So these are some of the secondary qualities of the devotee. The main quality of the devotee, on the other hand, is his complete dedication to the Supreme Lord. That is what is most attractive. The Supreme Lord is attracted to the devotee because of the devotee's attraction to the Lord. So all these secondary qualities will manifest automatically in the devotees. We'll see a list in the Bhagavatam later. Qualities, previously in the story of Kapila Dev, qualities are mentioned. 11th canto, qualities of devotees are mentioned. In Bhagavad Gita, qualities of devotees are mentioned in chapter 12. So these qualities are among those, that is, detachment from the material body, compassion for all living entities, not doing violence to anyone, etc. But we should not confuse this with the qualities that manifest in Sattva-guna itself. Those qualities are actually qualities of bondage. So these qualities that manifest within the devotee are not a result of cultivating good qualities in sattva guna. They're simply a result of execution of bhakti. And we know the Lord has all good qualities. So by worshipping the Lord, the devotee also develops all good qualities. Just as association with a good person helps one develop good qualities. So in the same way, association with the Supreme Lord helps one develop qualities like the Supreme Lord. So that is the nature of the devotee. His qualities develop because of his association with the Supreme Lord. So those qualities aren't spiritual qualities. So though he's compassion to all of the energies and harmony and living entities, there is no material motive there. It is not simply to maintain sattva and peace in the material world. It is the same motive of the Supreme Lord. Because the devotee regards all living entities as simply servants of the Supreme Lord. And therefore he shows compassion to them all. So the nature of the devotee, therefore, is prime quality, is that complete dedication to the Lord. So Jadbharat had those qualities. He was completely dedicated to the Lord, so much so he was not even attached to his father or anybody else. He was completely dedicated to the Supreme Lord, so he would not speak to anybody at all. He would not follow the orders or anything. He would simply meditate on the Supreme Lord. So he was highly qualified in his lifetime, and therefore the Supreme Lord was dedicated to him and followed him, and consequently Devatas also cooperated. So here Bhadrakali, who was an aspect of Durga Devi, she cooperated with the Supreme Lord and his devotee and helped him and protected him. So now the Supreme Lord gives this promise, I will protect my devotee. So here we see that this extends even to Devatas helping the devotee, because they are servants of the Supreme Lord, so they also help the devotees. So if the Lord has a will, then even the Devatas cooperate and help the Supreme Lord in his protection of the devotee.
Human sacrifice.
It's there. You'll see in the story, I think ninth canto, a story was who was it was to be sacrificed. Paris Chandra's, in that story there's a human sacrifice taking place. You want to sacrifice the son to some Devata or whatever like this and like that. So, and we'll see in the Vedas there's mantras there, and there's the stake for tying up the sacrifice and all the stuff mentioned. So there were such things there also, even human sacrifices. Some agree. Well, what purposes I don't know. But again, they were there. Have sacrifice in the bridge and bury somebody under the bridge for, yeah, there's things like that, very common actually, sacrifice somebody. We'll see in other societies also similar type of sacrifices there. The Mayans sacrifice people, they even human sacrifices and tear out their hearts on the altar or something like this. Mayan civilization, famous things like that. And other countries also, there were sacrifices like this sometimes.
We find that Durga is taking the place of the devotees.
Yeah.
All of these are followers. You know that she doesn't herself take all these followers. Here we find that initiative.
Yeah. Past time, I guess. Just like Guru eats fish, snakes.
So that is, there are a lot of so-called family traditions also. Family.
Yeah, a lot of that's concocted also. A lot of that's concocted. They all like and tribal things, like in the Hobolo, they're sacrificing to the chickens to Termadev or something. I don't know, things go on. So a lot of concocted things are there, sacrifices like this. None of that is done with any mantras at all, most of that stuff. Who? Kali doesn't kill everybody? Huh? Why doesn't Kali act? I don't know, you ask her.
Maybe they're not devotees.
Yeah, of course, he was a great devotee, so this is a special case. Animals were not great devotees. Yeah.
But how do we know, there are so many temples and probably some temples they installed it also properly and some that will be the case.
Yeah, well, probably nowadays a lot of things are completely bogus or whatever, no power at all. But ancient times, I suppose we could say more likely they would have established the deities according to proper procedures. Though we find here that the worshipper, these particular worshippers were not proper, so how they got access to this particular temple, I don't know.
They got
Vishnu
appear in the pillar.
Yeah, they can appear also. So even if that is not bona fide worship, if they get angry, they can also appear in that particular mode. Well, yeah, as I said here, the devotees, even threatened by decapitation, they're unagitated, they simply think of the Supreme Lord. So something like Prahlad. Prahlad, his father tried to kill him many times, but he didn't even protest, he was just thinking of the Supreme Lord all the time. So it's probably a similar type of thing. Well, yeah, because his interest is not the Devata anyway. He's not going to apply to Kali, please protect me, Kali. Because he's surrendered to the Supreme Lord. If anything, he'll ask for protection of the Supreme Lord. But even then, he may not do that if he's on the very exalted stage, because he doesn't care for material body at all. He's simply interested in the Lord. So like Prahlad also didn't pray for anything. They threw him off a cliff. Lord protected him, but he didn't say, please save me. Even. He was just thinking of the Lord, that's all. He was a mixed devotee. He was a mixed devotee. And even then the Lord came. So, but he was asking for protection there. Here Bharat wasn't even asking for protection.
பொண்ணு பணம் மாதிரி